Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Troy, you have to start.
All right. Should we just...
Yeah.
All right. Hi, I'm Troy.
And I'm Reese. And you are listening to The Unusual Suspects, Pop Culture and Whiskey. The podcast in which yada, yada, yada. You get the point. We are back.
Finally.
It's been a while, unfortunately, due to a lot of fucking terrible things like Storm and Troy getting a new job and me moving house. We haven't had a chance to get together and do this again, but we have. So, yay!
Yeah, random life shit.
Yeah, I know. You things you guys don't care about.
Yeah.
So, we might as well get straight into it and jump into some news. Now, Troy's written it, so I can't really read his handwriting.
All right. Handwriting.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
An iPad.
I was making a joke, man.
Yeah, yeah. Where do we start?
I don't know.
Let's go with some game news, I guess. Resident Evil Revelations.
So yeah, being ported to everything that's not 3DS, which is really funny for a game that was built for the 3DS.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's obviously Capcom trying to get more sales out of it, knowing that it's sold pretty well in 3DS, and I'm assuming that a lot of people asked to play it on other things. Like,
it's one of the best Resident Evils they've done in a long time.
Well, that's not really a hard bar to set.
It's not.
But yeah.
And the multiplayer aspect of Revelations is brilliant. The Street Pass aspect of it on 3DS was kind of what gave the multiplayer, so I don't know how they're going to switch that up, because the Street Passes gave you rare weapons and extra stages and heaps of cool
little tidbits. Then knowing Capcom, they'll just sell it as DLC.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, to take this.
Yeah, kind of pretty much.
Yeah. So that's Capcom doing Capcom-y things.
Suda51, man responsible for Killer 7, No More Heroes, Lollipop Chainsaw.
And Garcia fucking Hotspur. Can't remember the name of the game though.
Shadows of the Damned.
Which was cool, half terrible.
Yeah. His new project, Killer is Dead. Post-apocalyptic executioner, I guess, assassin kind of guy. Works for what seems like a private detective company kind of thing, but gets sent everywhere around the world to kill people. But it's kind of like half killer, half love story.
Suda is weird in his own various ways.
He's an extremely odd man.
He's gotten to the point now where he's, I don't know, like, Lollipop Chainsaw was more accessible than anything else he'd done before. Well, Killer 7, No More Heroes is probably his most accessible thing.
His stories that he writes in these games and kind of the plot twists and stuff that they throw at you is kind of the fun of the whole thing.
Yeah, no, like, as much as I didn't...
Like, the ending of Killer 7 was fucking brilliant. The ending of No More Heroes 1 and 2 was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I remember playing that, I played I played No More Heroes once.
Yeah.
You were like, here, shove the controller in my hand. Oh wait, and this was like your third time through on the hardest difficulty. I fucking hate this game. Fucking, what am I doing? But no, it's always an interesting looking game, always an interesting sounding game, not necessarily as fun to play. I mean, I liked Shadows of the Damned, but playing it was kind of a chore at a point.
And he just doesn't do typical Americanized plot twists.
Well,
like a lot of games these days, you can see what's going to happen. It's like, okay, that person's going to be bad, that person's going to die. It's like with him, you have no fucking idea. He's like a George R.R. Martin of games in sorts, where it's like, oh, you like that person, they're dead. Oh, you wanted that to happen? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, you guys, you know what? Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
His way of writing. It's my book.
What else do we have for game news? Wind Waker.
Being remade for the Wii U.
Yeah, HD remake. It's kind of there. Here's something to play while we're working on other shit. Which, I mean, it's fair enough. Wind Waker was a brilliant game, start to finish. It was very underrated.
I don't know if I ever finished it. I can't remember. I think I stopped playing it for a while, then came back, and then, like, any game that has dungeons and story, you're like, fuck happened between that? I don't know. There's water here. But I loved it, and it gives me a reason to not have to open my GameCube box.
It received a lot of criticism in the gaming community. It was kind of a 50-50 love-hate relationship.
I think it was because...
But that game was brilliant. The art direction, the characters...
Yeah, fuck, that game looks awesome, man. The open world, you can sail pretty much wherever you want.
Yeah.
There's islands that make no bearing.
yeah.
on the plot, no pun intended. But like I think it was just after Ocarina, and then I've never really played Majora's Mask. I hear that's also a pretty 50-50.
Yeah, I've played bits and pieces, but never finished Majora's Mask. But I mean, yeah, it's a brilliant game, and it's good to see that they're doing a remake of it. Wii U news in their latest Nintendo Direct. Virtual console games are going to be, I guess, reprogrammed is the way they're kind of putting it, to be able to be played on the gamepad.
Yeah, that's
which everyone was asking for. And well, then they said, well, the virtual console games that you already own, you pay an extra dollar to get the Wii U gamepad version. And everyone went, oh, paying another dollar. It's like, seriously, they have to go back and not just, like, put a little bit of code. They have to reprogram this thing to be able
to I don't know the specifics between sending the signal between the Wii U and the gamepad. Well, it's a cool concept because
But, I mean, the amount of virtual console titles that are released, and there is a fuck ton, to have to go back and do every single one of those... Like, have a team dedicated to going back and converting all of that into, you know, the Wii U game code is a pain in the ass. And then people whining that it's a dollar. It's like, it's one fucking dollar.
Yeah, but that's a dollar.
Yeah.
That it's under the concept that I've already paid for that game, why should I have to pay more?
Yeah. So they don't pay for it, and they can still play it on their Wii U. It's not like it's not playable. So... You know, they're paying for the luxury of it. People spend more money on shitty fucking iPhone games than, you know...
Fuck you. I have an iPad, and I get bored a lot. I don't have internet, man. Which means I can't even download games, so... Nintendo being Nintendo.
That and Game Boy Advance being put on Virtual Console. Which is fantastic. There was a plethora of brilliant titles on Game Boy Advance. Golden Sun, Metroid... Sonic Advance, all the rehashed Mario games. There was a fuck ton of really cool.
I think the Game Boy Advance is the only Nintendo handheld that I've ever played.
There's fucking cool games on there.
I had an emulator.
Everyone did.
Everyone did, yeah.
All right. Movie news.
Yes.
I'm
just going to say yes in agreement every time.
You say Man of Steel. More trailers.
Yeah, it's Super Bowl happened last weekend or the weekend before.
Yeah, last weekend, I think that was.
I unfortunately had no television at that point still, so I couldn't fucking watch it, but I heard the Ravens destroyed. But, like every year, the Super Bowl brings along the big new trailers or the TV spots, which the only one I remember from last year was the terrible, terrible John Carter one.
Oh. It was that movie did so well.
Yeah, I know. Mostly thanks to those trailers. But obviously there was a Man of Steel one, there was a...
Iron Man.
And
Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, the big movies this year.
Yeah. They're looking quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean... Well, you pretty much know if you're going to watch these movies by now.
Yeah.
I mean, this... Super Bowl advertising for those specific movies makes sense. I mean, it's one of the most watched things every year in America. You're getting their attention to, hey, come check this out. But it seems odd in the fact that you're advertising the biggest movies of the year that you're already pushing hard that everyone already knows about. Especially two of those are sequels.
Yeah.
And one of them, Man of Steel, is unproven. That one makes sense. I don't know. Because the TV spot for that is like $5 million. You're paying a shitload just for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So.
What else we got? World's End. Edgar Wright. We've mentioned this before.
Yeah, the new Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Edgar Wright film. The third in the Cornetto trilogy, they call it.
Yeah.
First one being Shaun of the Dead. Second one being Hot Fuzz. The first one being Raspberry Cornetto, Hot Fuzz was Blue Cornetto.
I think, yeah.
And then this one's Green, I think, for Aliens.
Yeah.
Which, they put out a poster.
It's called, World's End, but it's a pub crawl.
Yeah, it's a pub crawl alien invasion film about four men who haven't quite grown up, or have grown up and getting back together.
Yeah, going back, they did a pub crawl just out of high school and never completed it, and then growing up and going back and trying to... attempt to do it again, but getting back into the way they were out of high school. So Simon Pegg decides to dress up as a goth. One of the other guys dressed all freaking weird from what he looked like in high school. And yeah.
So it looks, there's no trailer yet, unfortunately, but there's a bunch of stills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which we'll post somewhere.
Yeah, we'll throw a few pictures up.
But, which will be interesting because that's two comedy end of the world films coming out this year. There's this one and This Is the End, which is the Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, James Franco one, yeah. Which has a trailer and that looks fucking awesome.
Yes. Wolverine, we got a bit more information on.
We do.
Well, Japanese style setting, samurai.
Yeah, filmed. I love this American film set in Japan, filmed in Australia.
Yeah,
fucking awesome.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's more based on his samurai training and things like that, and the whole
it's good. Love story. It's not supposed to have any sort of connections to the last one. I mean, the last one was fucking terrible. I didn't pay to watch that. I got paid. Technically, I got paid to watch that movie, and I still want my money back. They ruined so many.
Yeah, it's. We won't even go into that.
Yeah, it's a terrible piece of shit film.
Berserker Rage is confirmed in this. Pretty much Wolverine when he gets pissed off and.
But he gets pissed kinda, like always.
Yeah,
pissed
no,
off.
But kind of like goes into. Yeah, he's always pissed off, yeah. But he goes into this like certain set of rage where he's pretty much unstoppable,
okay.
And he kind of loses his memory as he does it. It's kind of like a seeing red snap type thing, and it's been a staple for Wolverine in the comics for a long time, and they've confirmed that that's going to be in there in some capacity. So
here's a question for you right now: when Hugh Jackman stopped being Wolverine, you reckon they'd go for someone more classic, someone like because Wolverine's short. That dude is short and big.
Yeah,
I mean.
You're thinking Danny DeVito?
Yeah, exactly.
Danny DeVito
I would
Wolverine.
I would watch that movie.
So would I. Or Joe Pesci.
Oh. I wish I could do a Joe Pesci, like, I can't. If I could, I would, yes, I would do one right now. I think I can do a bad Alan Rickman, and that's about it.
No. I can't even get that image out of my head of, like, just... Oh, Joe Pesci or Danny
DeVito. No.
Joe Pesci or Danny DeVito in yellow spandex.
No, ready? Danny DeVito as the Wolverine, Joe Pesci as Sabretooth.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh. Oh, what a mess. Okay, well, I guess the biggest movie news that everyone knows about by now is J.J. Abrams being confirmed to direct the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm fucking excited about.
Well, first of all, it's weird because it's slightly conflicting. He was questioned, obviously, last November or something, like, would you direct, if you are asked, would you direct the film? He'd be like, yeah, maybe. I mean, like, I've already done Star Trek. And then there's nothing, like, I mean, I probably wouldn't do Star Wars. I'd rather watch it and see someone else do it. So next time, when I go see the Star Wars film, it's when I walk into that theater and pay for my movie ticket. Fucking liar. No, yeah. Which, yeah, really funny. He was pretty adamant about the fact that he is not directing the Star Wars film. And then, a month ago, a little while ago, they're like, yeah, by the way, guys, J.J. Abrams, totally directing Star Wars.
Yeah. And so, he's been in talks with, what's her name, Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah.
The head of Lucasfilm at the moment. Yeah, from, like, October.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, he was quite obviously just quashing the rumors. So
yeah. It had to be done.
Yeah. So, for me, anyways, this is kind of... I wouldn't say bittersweet, like half good news, because the fact is, okay, so these are like the pros and cons I'm putting them in. I'm just going to say the cons. First of all is, he did Star Trek a great service. I mean, that first Star Trek film was fucking awesome. That second one looks great, and it's probably going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Super 8, I love the third Mission Impossible film. I didn't really watch Felicity, Alias was a weird television show, but J.J. Abrams has been doing...
Lost.
Yeah, Lost. I love Lost, but he wasn't really involved in that. Like, aside from
bits
the pilot.
And pieces, yeah.
So I'm really excited to see a J.J. Abrams Star Wars film, but I'm just worried that it's going to be like a J.J. Abrams Star Trek Star Wars film. I mean, Star Trek...
No.
...is unto itself, but then there's a lot of J.J. Abrams specific things in there, like lens flares. Fucking length... Dude puts lens flares on fucking everything.
There's going to be a point of creative control for him. Like, you know there's going to be Lucasfilm in the background using him like a marionette. You can do this and this, but don't touch that.
I don't know. Like I can see J.J. Abrams not accepting if he wouldn't allow full creative control. I mean, they're obviously going to... They want to send it in a specific direction, because Disney... Disney do not want to fuck up the Star Wars license. They paid too much to fuck it up.
Oh, they won't fuck
it up. They bought LucasArts for the Star Wars license. They couldn't care less about the games, well, the toys. And toys and everything is also what they want. I mean, there's a reason Cars 2s exist.
But like as we mentioned, Disney's sci-fi history as of late,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good.
I mean, they've been doing Avengers, Tron, for Marvel, Tron's fucking awesome.
Yeah, their Marvel acquisitions, like, they've got a lot of really high quality shit under their belt in the past few years, so it's not going to go too bad.
But for me, anyways, the pros is a main one is Michael Giacchino, who's a composer. He's J.J. Abrams' composer. He was the composer on Lost. He was the composer on Star Trek.
Hang on, we're not getting Williams back?
I don't know. They haven't announced anything like that, but the potential idea that J.J. Abrams brings Michael Giacchino across, because he's one of my single favourite composers. I mean, that Star Trek...
If he works with Williams, yes. But, I mean, Williams has worked on every single Star Wars film, and the music...
But the thing is, if they're going to do something new and new agey, I want them to separate the things as much as possible. I want J.J. Abrams to bring his... If he's going to do
it... builds these movies. Without the soundtrack, these movies are
Michael
nothing.
But Michael Giacchino is just so good.
He may be good, but I mean, if he collaborates...
You're of course going to have your... Dun, yeah, but dun, 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 dun. That's yeah, fucking Batman, but... I think, but...
Yeah, but...
Wait, let me get... Damn it, we used to have the Empire... The Imperial March. It was playing at work constantly. Yeah. And I can't even remember it now.
Yes. Alright, I think that's pretty much
it. Oh, also, with the announcement of that, of course, is Star Wars is going to be the new Avengers, basically. The fact that the Avengers is, it's going to have its Iron Man, Captain America, Thor films in the process of characters building up to the Star Wars film, which two have been announced so far. One is a Han Solo prequel film, and the other one is, of course, a Boba Fett film. I don't know if they announced it was a prequel, a sequel, or anything else, because as everyone who knows anything about Star Wars knows that...
Boba Fett isn't dead.
No, he fucking somehow managed just to escape from the Sarlacc pit.
Yep.
So, Expanded Universe, all that stuff. As far as I know, Disney are not going to touch any Expanded Universe stuff, so that doesn't exist in the realm of the Star Wars. Disney's fiction only exists within the movies, but Boba Fett film, Han Solo film coming... So, I did say something to a friend of mine in a specific regard of, I want all of the Star Wars, and then I said a sexual act, which I'm not going to say again because it's pretty thing, but like, give me all of the Star Wars, a bukkake of Star Wars, if you will. But it's like, regardless of, they're going to make Star Wars films, they're going to make lots of them, and they're not going to make them terrible, so...
Yeah.
I'll take all of the Star Wars I can get, because Star Wars is awesome, and I know some people out there that haven't watched the Star Wars films, and you people suck.
Yep.
I know at least two.
You make me sad.
Yeah.
In my pants. there is... I don't know, there is so much Star Wars that they could do, so many side characters, and as you said, with the amount of money they paid for this acquisition, they're not gonna fuck it.
Yeah, they're gonna put as much work in as possible.
Alright, that's pretty much our news.
We do have some trailers. I mean, like I said, I've been moving. I haven't had the internet since the 17th of January, and I won't have the internet for another two fucking weeks because of reasons, but...
But even so, I mean, I've been going through the trailers, and all we've really got is extended trailers of stuff that's already been released.
Yeah, they haven't put out too many new trailers these days. I mean, like, they've put out longer Jack and the Giant...
Longer Iron Man, longer Star Trek.
Yeah, all the little TV spots. Yeah,
longer everything.
Shit like that.
Yeah. But we do have a couple. Byzantium.
Which is a vampire film from the director of the vampire film, Interview with a Vampire.
Yes.
Of course, it is about Gemma Arterton, who's awesome, as a vampire, and Saoirse Ronan. I didn't say that name correctly at all, but I don't know how to. She was the girl.
Emmy Rossum, was that it?
No.
She's in thinking creatures. Yeah, I'm thinking the other one.
Yeah, you're thinking the other one. Basically, she's a vampire, her daughter's a vampire. Johnny Lee Miller is part of the vampire coven, and for some reason they don't let women in, so they're like, well, we should kill them.
Yeah, they don't want female vampires. But it's odd. It's from the trailer, it mixes between, like, because they're 200 years old, so it mixes between younger selves and, you know, present day selves, but the older selves, it kind of looks like a set of the piano.
Like, yeah, Victorian era style, yeah. Old vampires. Johnny Lee Miller with the fucking wig, long, flowing locks. He's yeah. in the trailer for 1 second, and he just says, whore, which is pretty funny. But
and then modern day looks just... Modern day England.
It looks slightly futuristic, though, in a way. Like, everything was, like, harsh and thing, and when she fell through the roof and shit like that.
Yeah.
It looks, for a vampire film anyways, it looks interesting. I mean, we haven't had...
It doesn't look like your typical vampire movies that we've had over the past decade.
What was the last vampire film we had? Not including Twilight, of course.
That doesn't exist.
It's a vampire film anyways.
Vampire film.
Hmm. Yeah. When was the last time we had a vampire? I bet there was like one really recently.
Yeah, there's probably a really good one that we're like completely skipping over.
But like, it looks interesting. I mean, vampire films were all the craze a few years ago, especially when Twilight hit the jackpot.
All that comes to mind is the one with yeah, gone.
I can't.
Mila Jovovic. But that was like, oh god.
Oh, dude, that
five,
was
6 years ago. It was futuristic vampire. What was that called? You know the one I'm talking about.
Are you talking about the crappy one where everything's purple?
Her eyes change color all the time, and that little kid that's bald.
Is it the one where she rides a motorcycle across the side of a building? I don't think of it completely.
I think so.
That was that film by the director of Equilibrium.
Yes,
saw that.
That's the one.
I never saw that. No, I'm thinking like the latest one.
Ultraviolet. That's it.
Which is actually a...
I love that movie.
There's a miniseries called Ultraviolet, English miniseries about vampires. Nice. And it's called Ultraviolet because you can only see them truly under ultraviolet light, I think? I can't remember. I watched it. It's okay. But no, I was going to say Underworld 3? 4. I watched that recently. That's not good.
It was... Oh, technically 4. 1, 2, and 3 were good. Like, the third one was that prequel. The prequel was really well done.
That was alright.
The last one was a piece of shit. And they didn't have Scott Speedman in it.
Scott Speedman lookalike who never looked at the camera, yeah. Which is pretty funny.
No, and he was only in the first scene and the last scene. Yeah. So
the one thing that I did like about that film was whoever played the bad guy. That dude did a pretty good job.
He did, but that was a horrible swill of a movie.
It was pretty terrible. But anyways, Byzantium.
Inappropriate comedy. Now, we're going to put the trailer up for this, and you guys have to, if there is anything out of this week's show that you look at or do, go and watch this trailer.
It is
Adrian Brody doing a horrible homosexual
innuendo whilst trying, like...
He's a cop using homosexual innuendo for about a minute and a half. That is literally the entire trailer. The trailer doesn't start with, you know, this fall or anything like that. It is literally the scene starts in the trailer and ends in the trailer. That is it. It doesn't tell you the name of the movie. It doesn't say anything.
It's just so good.
A minute and a half of innuendo.
And Adrian Brody, of course, doing a gravelly voice while he's doing it. It's pretty good. It's fucking interesting as hell.
Yeah, the whole movie is a sketch comedy movie. We don't know pretty much anything else about it.
Yeah, other than that. Well, what was his name? He had like a really, really...
Oh, Frank Flirty. Yeah, so...
Stupid.
Yeah, it looks freaking hilarious. Yeah. If that minute and a half trailer is anything to go off, it's going to be fucking funny.
Hopefully that's not the best minute and a half of the film,
though. Yeah. Dead Man Down.
I don't know. Oh, that's right. It's C. Glasson. It's new. Wait, fuck. Is he the right? Okay. Anyways, the guy that directed the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo film, the Swedish one. C. Glasson was the writer. Sorry, I got that wrong. He's doing his first English language films, of course, starring Noomi Rapace from that, and Colin Farrell, and also Terrence Howard. Basically, Colin Farrell, fucking shit up, but looking stylishly. It looks really, really interesting. Basically.
He pretty much looks like a hitman, and then a chick recorded him killing someone on a hit, and he's using that as blackmail and being like, well, I saw you kill a man, and I need you to kill a man, and I've got evidence, so you have to do it.
Yeah, and then there's like a 3 minute long trailer of just like slow motion gunfights and cars driving through buildings and explosions, and Terrence Howard going, he's going to beg me for mercy. Yeah. He won't ask for mercy. Well, he wouldn't get it. It looks really interesting. That's pretty cool. The funniest thing about it is there's a trailer for the trailer on the front of the trailer.
Yeah.
Which is probably better than the full trailer, the way it's been. It's really weird. It's like,
very Inception.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it was a craze. They started, especially with, they started with Prometheus. So for the 3 days prior to Prometheus, were three tiny trailers for the trailer for Prometheus. Okay. They also did it for Looper, but fucking Looper's awesome. So
yeah.
It was like three small trailers lead 3 days leading up to, which is really weird. But then you have the trailer on top of the trailer. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, but it looks pretty cool. Looks interesting.
That's pretty much it for the trailers this week.
There's yeah, there was...
Everything else that we've done in trailers, as we said, Iron Man, Star Trek.
Oh, there was a during the Super Bowl, there was the Fast and the Furious 6 trailer, yeah. Which Troy has yet to watch 5. I would add... Okay, this is the way I look at Fast and the Furious. One is an average at best film. Two is an absolutely terrible piece of shit that proves that Paul Walker should have never got in front of a camera in his entire life. Hey, bro, what's up, bro? Yo, bro. That's pretty much his entire script through the film. Three, Tokyo Drift. I love Tokyo Drift. I like all things Japanese, so having like a... I'm going to be car guy, which is weird why I like that film.
Yeah, neither am I.
Four, I didn't really like at all. But Five. Now, Five is one of the best action films of that year. It is just unabashedly stupid fun. I mean, when The Rock... No, sorry.
And that's the thing. I should have seen it because it has The Rock, and I'm a big Rock fangirl. So.
That entire film, he is sweating. Like, there's a scene, like, what...
That's all he ever does.
He's, like, him and Vin Diesel facing off, and it's like, he's, like, right in his face, he's, like, all tensed as shit, and there's just sweat dripping down The Rock's face, and then Vin Diesel is just normal, and you're like, what the fuck is The Rock doing that he's just sweating? But there's... put it this way. There's a part where Vin Diesel tackles The Rock through a wall... is a point where they're driving a safe down a road using it to bash cars off a fucking bridge. It's stupid, dumb, fun. I really enjoy it. But anyways, they put out a trailer for 6, which looks like Fast and the Furious 5, except for they're all on the same side, because The Rock's like, yo, I need your help to take down people like you. Because they're still on the run. Fucking all the time they're on the run. And it's got all the same players from the last one, all the new characters they introduced from the last one. The Rock's back, so fuck yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down for a Fast and Furious 6 after 5 anyways. So that trailer looks pretty cool.
All right. I guess we'll go on to a bit of movies and television.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, what, fucking like 3 months?
Yeah. Pretty much just a...
Well, actually, we'll start with the freshest one from my mind. Last night we went and saw Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, Witch Hunters,
which I would give...
You know what I found hilarious? About a minute into the film, a woman walked in with her son, who looked to be no older than probably 8 or 9 years old, and like 3 minutes after they walked in, there's tits and a witch's head exploding, and I'm like, oh, best movie to bring your son
it's,
to.
It's MA15+. Parents don't... like. Alright, I'm going to go off on a quick side tangent. I, of course, work at the cinemas. That's where we went. Sorry. Parents don't care anymore. Like, they're getting to... It's really weird. You've got two groups of parents. You've got the one saying, our kids should never watch this, so nobody should ever watch this. And the other group saying, fuck you, I'm the parent. Literally, someone told me that. When we had Ted, of course, Ted is about the talking bear. It's got swearing, it's got sex, it's got alcohol, it's got drugs, it's got everything that you should not let your kid watch. I know this. So, of course, every time a parent would come up, it's like, in the ads, they don't show any of that. It's like, oh, it's a funny little teddy bear. It's like, oh, by the way, just letting you know this film is MA15+. And the guy's like, well, they're my kids. I'm just letting you know that it's MA15+. It does have swearing, violence and stuff. I can't stop you from taking your kids in, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was just waiting for it. And then I told the guy, it's MA15+. You may not want to take... No, it's fine. I'm taking my kids, all right? Comes out 10 minutes later. I didn't think it was that bad. I'm like, well, fuck you, I told you. Sorry. Basically, parents don't care anymore. They take their kids to it, and they complain afterwards that I didn't think it would be that bad. It's like, well, we told you it's MA15+, you stupid idiot. Anyways, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. It's a 3 out of 5. It's 2.5 to 3 out of 5.
2.5.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's got some... It's practically everything, every twist in it is guessable at best. When you first see that chick, you know, she's going to be that thing. And then it's like, and then their parents, it's going to be this. And then, of course, the funniest and also most misused thing in the thing is Hansel, of course, has diabetes due to the fact that he was force-fed candy as a child.
Which I guess that's a cool kind of twist on the original fairy tale.
But then they use it to the stupidest effect possible that you can guess.
Yeah, but they only, like, injects insulin, three times in the entire movie, and they kind of just...
They just shove
it. They don't focus on it, it's just there.
It's there so that it can come back at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time you see it, you go, oh,
yeah, plot device. I know what's going to happen. Yeah.
But, like, it introduces a lot of interesting things. Like, the witches, some of the witches look super interesting. Like, there's ones that are connected through the back. There's one with huge head. There's this one that walks across its arms. The weapons, of course, are highly...
futuristic.
Acronistic? What's the word when it's not from that time? Acronist? Fucking. I don't know. It's a word. But anyways, yeah. They're really cool, really interesting. They use a taser kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like a...
But it's
a wind-up taser, I guess.
Yeah, it. I think the movie takes itself way too seriously.
Oh yeah,
is the problem for that film. Also, they create this big, like, kind of witchy event, and all of the interesting witches get introduced right at the end of the film.
Yeah,
pretty much all dealt with by then.
Jeremy Renner and what's her name?
Gemma Arterton.
Gemma Arterton. Yeah, they like their acting was fine.
Yeah, it's
they
just, did
really well, but
there wasn't a whole lot to do.
Everything surrounding their acting was.
Yeah.
Problems everywhere.
Yeah, it was it's a lax script at best.
The effects were a mess.
Yeah.
Because it was made for 3D. It wasn't so you get all those kind of
like really bad CGI blood coming flying at you and shit like that.
Bits, we watched it in 2D and you can tell where the bits are supposed to be 3D and there's probably, what, 4 bits in the entire movie where there's like they throw 3D at you and the rest is just gimmick.
Yeah, it's interesting to say the best. It's okay.
See it, but don't see it at the movies.
Yeah. All right.
It's worth a watch, but...
Yeah.
I got to watch Indie Game, the movie.
Which, of course, is a... I forget who directed that, but it's a documentary on three
separate individual, like, indie game developers.
Yeah.
The creators of Super Meat Boy, the creator of Fez, and the creator of Braid.
All right, so Phil Fish, creator of Fez, Jonathan... Below, the creator of Braid, and then Edward McMillan, and I can't remember the other guy's name, the creator of Super Meat Boy.
Yes. Now, the guys who made Super Meat Boy, freaking awesome. I love these guys. I don't know, their game, like, to me, watching that movie, they're gamers, and that's what got me. The other two don't seem like gamers.
There was a specific line that, not Edward McMillan, the other guy that did Super Meat Boy, that my brother really disliked. Was when he specifically says, you know what, we're not going to make Halo. I hate shit games. I mean, Halo's not a bad game, but his point is saying that I don't make games for the masses. I make games... It's like a Joss Whedon quote. Joss Whedon said, I'd rather make a film that 10,000 people need to see rather than 100,000 people want to see.
Yeah.
Which is what they do. And Super Meat Boy, fucking awesome game.
Yeah.
All three of those games actually are really awesome. But,
but the creator of Fez was kind of a douche, and the creator of Braid is just... little bitch. And the criticism that he got affected him so much that he got depression and couldn't leave the house.
Which it's
like we spoke about this before the podcast about, you know, putting that much time and effort and that many years into something.
Yeah,
you know, it's your baby and you're protective of it.
This podcast is if we put it up there and then just like 100% of people go,
oh, yeah, stupid. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, like just like, oh, well, you got this wrong, this wrong. So we weren't trying to do that. Yeah. It's a really interesting look, especially if you're into game design, like the behind the scenes of game design, which I love the behind the scenes of game design. I love all those kind of things, and getting to see these because just seeing the like, especially the Super Meat Boy guys, like the point where they end up, we have to rush to finish this game and then to get it out there and the date's supposed to be out, it's not on the storefront and the dude is just fucking losing his mind. He's emailing people, calling people, going, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. You said you'd give us this. Kind of seeing these people at their worst and at their best. Like even Phil Fish does come off as a bit of an asshole, and he does come off speaking in the public a bit of an asshole. He deleted his Twitter account because of reasons like that. But
I mean, overall, it's a good insight into...
Yeah, because you get to see him at the lowest moment, and then, like, once, like, his game kept breaking when he was showing it off at PAX, and then when person plays it, go, man, this is the fucking coolest thing I've played. Yeah. You just, like, in his eyes, he's just like, fuck yeah. He's like, all I've worked for is not wasted. It's not this time I've wasted working on something. Which, yeah, it's really well shot, really well edited kind of... thing. You can get it. It's a really, really cheap movie. It's like $10. You can buy it off Steam if you have a Steam account for pretty cheap.
Yeah, definitely give it a look.
If
anyone's seen King of Kong, see this movie. It's along that, you know,
yeah,
behind the scenes gaming documentary type of thing.
There's actually a few kind of gaming behind the documentaries coming out lately, especially two-player production. I've been doing a few. They did the Amnesia Fortnight recently. They're doing the behind-the-scenes documentary for Reds, which is Double Fine's new adventure game, and they've been doing one for Scrolls.
Tim Schafer.
And they've done Minecraft ones. Yeah, Tim Schafer's awesome.
All right. Django Unchained.
Is there any more? Because I think we should leave Django to last.
There is. All right, we'll leave Django to last. Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
It's a awesome kids movie.
It is. It's an awesome adults film too.
Yeah, it's just one of those animated films that you have to go and see, especially for gamers. There's a lot of cool little tidbits that
Easter eggs that no one would get, like seeing the fact that you see Pitfall Larry for 5 seconds. I'm just going,
yeah,
it's fucking Pitfall Larry.
Getting the exclamation mark from Metal Gear Solid out of the box.
Yeah,
yeah, like just cool little things here and there that only real gamers would notice.
The thing, the only, like, it's not a problem. I really enjoyed that film. I'd give it 4 out of 5 stars. About halfway through, they go, because when it introduces it, you get to see all these kind of different games and all these things, like Ken and Ryu hanging out in the Tapper Bar, which is really fucking cool. Things like that. And then it gets to the point where it leaves all of that game stuff behind to go pursue its own story.
Yeah.
And then it enters onto its own fake games, which are, they're interesting into themselves, and like the writing's actually really good. It's a really heartwarming film. There's, of course, a bit when Ralph does his, when the low point of the film, which was sad as hell, and kind of comes back around, but it's really good, really interesting.
The guy who voices Fix-It Felix is actually Kenneth from 30 Rock.
Which, there's a few cool Easter eggs, if you haven't seen it, or if you do see it, is during the credits of the film, there's a Wreck-It Ralph song written specifically for the movie by, God, I know this, I can't remember the guys' names. They're the guys that were made famous from doing the Pac-Man song years ago.
Yeah.
And then they did the whole album doing Pac-Man songs. Something Garcia. I forget their names. One of them, unfortunately, died last year. But they did a Wreck-It Ralph song for Wreck-It Ralph. It's really cool. It's during the credits. It's really funny. And, of course, at the end of the credits is a kill screen, which is fucking cool unto itself.
Yeah.
But, really, really interesting, really awesome film. Great performances. Especially by Alan Tudyk, who I didn't even know was in that film to the end.
Yep.
This is cool.
All right, go see it. John dies at the end. We spoke about the trailer probably our second or third podcast for this movie, and were just blown away by the fuck is going on.
Yeah,
kind of. And I was like, I have to see this movie, I have to see it. And
from the director of Bubba Hotep, which Bubba Hotep is an awesome film.
Holy shit.
It's fucking weird.
It went in so many different directions, and I really didn't expect the film to be the way it was.
Yeah, you kind of...
I started watching it, and I was 10 minutes in, and I sent Reese a message. I'm like, get this movie, watch it right fucking now, and even if you can't stay awake, watch 5 minutes and tell me you don't want to see the rest of this movie. And I got a message back 10 minutes later going, holy shit!
Yeah, like,
the first 5 minutes of that movie just makes you go, I have to watch
this film. The unfortunate thing about the whole thing, though, is that the first 5 minutes are the best 5 minutes of that entire film.
That's the thing, like, it's so uphill up until about, say, halfway, three quarters of the movie, and then the last, like, 15, 20 minutes of the film, you're like, oh, that was shit.
Yeah, the ending, because it kind of comes out of nowhere, and then it's the main thing, like, it's really fucking interesting. There's a whole bunch of random shit from nowhere. Paul Giamatti is great in it.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It's pretty good performances for a lot of places for, like, an independent film. The main problem is, obviously it's independent, so it has a very low budget. You can pretty much tell.
Yeah.
It's being overly quirky to compensate, but there's points where it goes, well, this scene's probably going to be too harsh for you, so we're going to show you an animated version. And it kind of detracts from whatever happens in that. So it's super, 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 super fucking interesting, super weird.
It's weirdness, I guess you'd call it, reminds me of Slither.
Yeah, a bit.
In a way, like, I think it, in I think that it goes whole left bit, field kind
of. It goes a bit further than Slither ever does.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's just, it's odd.
Yeah,
but it's definitely worth watching.
There's some good shit in it. There's like I said, the opening.
Yeah.
The opening 5 minutes is just fucking
mind blowing, to say the least.
But it's definitely a cult film.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, give that a look, definitely.
John dies at the end. Apparently there's a book which I really will get around to reading at some point. I'm halfway through reading a lot of books.
Sweet. I finally watched Drive. Finally. It was a good film. I really did enjoy it. There's a few people that we know who think it's fucking horrible, but...
You unfortunately didn't like it as much as I did.
It's not an F1 racing movie, so I don't see why people are complaining. Yes, it's called Drive, but does not mean that, you know, every minute of the film someone has to be in driving. A car. Yeah. And that's what everyone's complaint's been, is, oh, he's not driving enough. Drive has so many different meanings. Like, if you've got drive for a passion or drive for a job, like, it's not drive... automatically means it's a car movie and everyone should be driving around and shooting guns and explosions.
Yeah.
It's a really, really well-scripted, well-filmed movie.
It's one of my personal favorites. It's up in my top three.
It's great. It really is. Like, I just can't even compare it to anything else.
It's weird.
It's a very, like, it's an odd film. There's a lot of things that I didn't expect to happen. I was like, whoa, okay. And everything intertwines in a really cool way. Like, everyone that they introduce is actually someone else, but you don't realize until, you know, later on in the movie. But,
like, every character has a meaningful place in that film, regardless of where they pop up.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, really interesting. But quickly on that note is, if anyone who was a huge fan of Drive, there is a 20-second teaser-style trailer for Nicholas Winding Refn and Ryan Gosling's new film, Only God Forgives. It's 20 seconds, it's terrible quality, but it's out there on the internet, you should watch it. Yeah. I mean, like...
There's a cool fight scene in there.
In the 20 seconds, I got super excited, and I can't wait for that film, because, of course, I was waiting for another Ryan Gosling film this year, Gangster Squad, which I've seen twice. First time I saw it by myself, because I had nothing else to do that day, I thought, fuck it, I'm going to go watch a movie. I thought it was okay. The second time I watched it, I liked it a bit better. The film, of course, suffers from the fact the final shootout, the final scene, the penultimate scene in that movie takes place inside of a movie theater. And of course, because of the whole Aurora shootings last year, they re-edited the ending, and you can tell. Like, pretty much it has all of these characters that have been in the film the entire time that you can assume in the original cut got some pretty gruesome deaths. Like, there's, like, Ryan Gosling specifically threatens this one character, if I ever see you again, I'm gonna fucking kill you or something. And you see him again, and then I don't even think you see him die. It's like an offshoot, because they have to get all these actors back to reshoot all this stuff months later, so it looks rushed. Sean Penn has one of the worst lines of the film in that part.
Do you think they'll re-release the original edit?
Especially with the Blu-ray, I really hope they do, because there's parts of that reshot ending that Sean Penn is even in, and you can tell, and it looks really bad. Like for some reason it's suddenly Christmas. There's not Christmas at all during the film. Then they go to his hotel, and there's a Christmas tree, and then, of course, Sean Penn comes out and goes, "Here comes Santa Claus!" And you're like, the fuck? Who gave him that line? Like, especially after Sean Penn's performance in that film as Mickey Cohen is so fucking good. There's a scene right in the middle when he says, "This is my town, this is my fucking town, I'm gonna take it," gets up and just flips the dude a bill and then walks off. And it's like one of the best scenes in that movie, and it's just that whole Sean Penn in that ending was obviously it was obviously rushly shot because he wasn't there, and it just feels so divergent. There are some really cool stuff, like there's a montage scene during the meal which is really cool. The 1940s LA looks amazing. 1950s, sorry, looks fucking amazing. That it's like I said, I liked it more the second time, but I still think it's okay. Yeah. It's not terrible, but it could have been better. Kind of thing.
I'm still gonna go and see that.
Yeah.
Push. Older film.
Yeah, 2006, 2005, I think.
Maybe it's a bit later.
2007. It's a few years old.
What's her name? Little Blonde Girl.
It's Dakota Fanning. That's 16.
Maybe 15, 16 years old in that movie. Good movie.
Chris Pine, Dakota Fanning.
No, not Chris Pine.
Sorry, the other one, Chris Hemsworth. No, fucking Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. Too many Chris's. Too many Chris's. Man who played Captain America.
Fantastic Four. Yeah. Human Torch.
It's different. It's people with powers. Like, some have the ability to move objects, like telekinesis. Some have the ability to see the future.
And they give them really, really interesting names. Like, it's called Push because you push thoughts into the mind, and then there's, like, pushers, movers, sniffers, screamers, like all this kind of, like, naming convention. I don't think it's actually based on anything as well. I think it's an entirely own fiction.
It's based in like Korea, the movie.
Japan. Isn't it? I think.
Oh no. No, it's not Japanese. It's Shanghai or somewhere.
It's
like
one
that.
Asian country. It's really cool. It's about a bunch of expatriates, which is the first time I saw that movie was the first time I ever heard about that word.
Yeah,
I really like that word.
Expat. It's pretty much a guy, a pusher, is
mover.
No, it was the main dude in the movie was a pusher.
Yeah, he's a mover. Pushers are the thoughts.
Yeah, the black dude.
Oh, right, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Chris Evans.
No.
Black dude played by Jimon Hounsnow.
Yeah, he's going around hunting everyone.
Section 9, I think they give him the name.
Yeah, trying to make everyone stupidly powerful for weaponizing, but he's hunting them down and then giving them injections to see who lives, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really cool film. Could have...
It's
set up for a
stylish.
Cool sequel, but...
Yeah.
Obviously, not happened.
It didn't do that well. Paul McGuinn directed it. I think it was Paul McGuinn. I might have got that wrong. But it's really stylish. The thing I always liked about it, it's also like two and a half hours long.
Yeah.
It was a lot longer than I thought it was, but it is really, really stylish, really interesting. The action's all done really well. But yeah, no, it's like I saw the trailer for it a while ago. I missed it at the cinemas, but then I bought it on Blu-ray on the first chance I got, and I really enjoyed it. It's a really interesting take on powers.
Yeah, it's cool.
It is. So go see that one. I mean, like, if you haven't already, which you probably should have.
Pitch Perfect.
Okay, so...
Anna Kendrick, Australian, big chick.
I was going to say Mad Gizabansky for a second there. Rebel Wilson.
Yeah. It's... I don't know. A cappella.
Yeah.
Movie, but it's a comedy and...
It's a college movie, but it's also a spoof of college movies.
Yeah.
It's really interesting in a way, like... The way I put it is one of the characters in the middle of the film gets... nodes or something like on her throat. I don't know if it's a real thing or like a fake disease.
It is
disease.
A real thing, but
oh,
yeah, no, even just like because you told me to go and see it and I was like adamant about it. I'm like singing movies, some I enjoy, some I don't. I'm like, it's Anna Kendrick, I have to go see this, okay. And I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'm giving this like 10 minutes and if I haven't laughed or if anything isn't good, then I'm out. And about a minute and a half, 2 minutes into the film, this chick throws up.
Like projectile vomiting onto Rose.
On
which
makes
no sense.
On the entire front row of a crowd. And I'm like, yep, this is good.
And it's kind of... Because it's really weird too, because the format of the film is like... It takes the same serious format. It's like it's... You've got the thing, but you've also got the girl meets the guy, etc., etc. You know exactly where the film's going. But
it
doesn't take itself seriously.
No.
It makes fun of everything, including its own characters.
Yeah. It's kind of like taking the main plot out of every college movie in the past 10 years. Like, boy meets girl, hardship, like, you know, people leaving, like,
every little bit.
But instead of using it as a serious plot device, turning all those, you know, expected college plots into comedy.
Yeah, I like they even make fun of Bring It On. Especially, oh god, what do they say in Bring It On? Like this isn't a cheer. They put cheer in front of everything, and one of the main girls just puts Aka from a cappella and says, Aka, excuse me? Aka what? Aka huh? Like in a really, really dumb, over the top way.
Yeah.
And,
it's great.
It is completely out of left field. It's something you don't expect. Rebel Wilson absolutely steals the show.
She nails it.
She has the best lines and all that. Like, one of the funniest lines especially is between her and the Asian chick when they're in the pool near the end of the film. The Asian chick herself, like, of course, there's a lesbian, there's a weird girl. There's an Asian chick who whispers so quietly no one hears her. And it makes...
Oh, and the Asian girl actually speaks up and she's like, whoa, no need to shout.
It's weird.
No, the line between her and the main douchebag dude on kind of the other side of the movie, where he's like, yeah, do you want to make out? She's like,
He's like, I'm getting a feeling that we should make out. Sometimes I got a feeling that I should do crystal meth, and I think, better not. No, Rebel Wilson absolutely smashes that out of the park.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what? I like musical films anyway, so the singing's pretty cool.
Okay, we've got two left. Life of Pi...
Which I
is
didn't see.
One of the best films I've seen in a very, very, very long time. Ang Lee nailed it, start to fucking finish.
Did you see it in 3D or just 2D?
3D. But it's just... oh. Every single minute of that film is just heart-wrenching. The soundtrack, the filming, the just everything about that movie is fucking brilliant. Everyone turning around to him and telling him that you can't turn this book into a movie, it cannot be done. Getting turned down by like 6 different studios.
Yeah.
And someone finally let him make it, and it did fucking well. It smashed box office. It's, you know,
yeah,
it won awards. It's been nominated for heaps of different shit. It is a brilliant fucking film.
I just didn't get around to watching it.
Yeah.
I instead stole The Hobbit 3 times.
If anyone can, if it's still there at the cinemas, go see it. It's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah. I will get around to watching it. I do wish that I saw it in 3. It is how I wanted to see it.
So good.
Which, just quickly, The Hobbit 3 times. More than enough that anyone should watch The Hobbit at the theatre. That movie's 3 fucking hours long. I fell asleep during the third time. 8 o'clock at night, just eating dinner. Just going, film has like an hour left. Fuck, I just want to go home and sleep. And then you wake up, it's like, oh God, there's like another half hour after this. It's the point where you're like, this film could end right here and it would be a perfect ending. Right here. And then no, more stars. But no, that's still an awesome film.
Django Unchained.
Django unfucking chained. Tarantino's Western film, which he's been threatening to do for a while, which makes sense because the dude loves Western. I mean, he tried to get Ennio Morricone, who was, of course, scored tons of spaghetti Westerns, including the brilliant track for Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
If you've never seen a movie in your life, if you don't plan on seeing anything ever, you have to see this.
Yes. Because
this is the one movie just...
It's...
This is filmmaking at its finest. It really fucking is.
This is a 3-hour film I could watch 3 times at the cinemas.
I could watch 3 times in a row.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I did.
Well, I watched it twice in a row. I seriously did. I watched it and then was like, yep.
It lends itself to a Western, but then just Tarantino's like, fuck everything that people believe in Westerns. And then he just does his own thing. I mean, Christoph Waltz, again, fucking knocks it out of the park.
And the dynamic between him and Jamie Foxx is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, there's just... Oh, man.
And then introducing Leonardo DiCaprio, and he fucking nailed. He should have won awards for that role.
Yeah, I know. There's a bit...
Fucking brilliant.
There's a bit where Leonardo DiCaprio gets angry, and then, you know, he's like smashing the table, and then you know how you see his blood on his hand? Yeah. That's his blood.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Fucking Leonardo DiCaprio smashes the table, cracks open a glass, splits his own thing, and just starts going, fuck! Yeah. And then just continues the scene. The scene goes on for another, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, it was after that, the point where he's like, no, I need, some medical attention, man. My hand's bleeding. And Tarantino's like, fuck, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the shot that makes it in the movie. Like, the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio just keeps going and works it in, that's one of the best moments of that movie, too.
Yeah.
The film surprised me in the fact that I didn't see it going where it went. Like, I assumed, because it introduces in the trailer the Brutal Brothers, which I just assumed the entire film was them trying to track down the Brutal Brothers. All of that stuff gets, done in half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's another part of the film, and then that gets kind of sorted up, and then there's another part of the film.
And there's a main plot, but I mean, there's 3 subplots that are there and gone.
Yeah.
But they still add to the overall just experience and the overall end result. Everything builds up and finishes and builds up to a perfect fucking ending.
It does. I mean, there's a rap song in this movie. There's 2 original songs. There's Django.
Yeah.
And then there's a Dr. King Schultz version, which is awesome.
But I got to the end, near the end, where Tarantino's cameo, and I'm not going to say anything about it because it's a spoiler, but it is fucking brilliant. And Tarantino's cameo, I honestly thought that scene was going to be the end. I thought I thought it, like, it being Tarantino going. As he is, I thought he was just going to be a smartass, and it's like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It sucks. But then, there's another half an hour maybe after that
on top of that
part,
yeah.
And I'm like, fuck yeah.
I mean, Samuel L. Jackson's in it for a bit, and he's fucking hilarious. Dude, this film, the one thing I did not think about this film was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, the whole KKK bit, which, it doesn't sound funny, it just is, because it just portrays a bunch of people as stupid. Yeah, with the cameo from
Jonah Hill, yeah.
Did you know there was actually 3 actors that had to drop out of filming Django Unchained? One of them was Jonah Hill. He made a much larger role. In the original script, there was a poker game in which he has the Broomhilda. loses her to Kennedy.
Ah, okay.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt was also supposed to be in the film at that point. Jonah Hill was unfortunately caught up doing shooting The Watch, so yeah. He couldn't. But there was a little bit of time afterwards. Because Jonah Hill
bad
thought...
Bad mistake.
Yeah, because Jonah Hill thought, especially because he was nominated for the Oscar, Best Supporting Oscar after Moneyball. Fucking awesome film. Everyone should watch Moneyball. But he was like, yeah, next step, fucking Tarantino film. And then unfortunately he could only shoot that small cameo. Still great in it. Leonardo, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, of course, also wanted to do it, but he was shooting his own first feature film, which sounds pretty cool by itself. But, like, and there's fucking Easter eggs out the ass of this film.
Yeah, there's just, which I guess we're running for time that we don't want to go into, but see the film.
Yes, I'll mention one thing, though, that Tarantino managed to nail is that no CGI blood. Everything is practical effects, and it is fucking
boring. I don't
think
he's ever used CGI blood.
I know, because the guy knows...
Yeah.
It's seven for spaghetti westerns. Yeah. Of course, fake zooms. Fake zooms in that film were fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love spaghetti westerns and I love Tarantino. And I love Tarantino.
I'm going to move on to TV, but I'm going to literally do this in the space of a minute because we're going to fly through it. Sherlock was both seen, watched. If you haven't seen Sherlock, if you've watched Elementary, if you loved the Sherlock Holmes film, go see this.
It
UK,
destroys
two seasons.
The other two.
Three episodes per season, hour and a half episodes. One of the best television shows I've seen in the last decade. I loved it. Fucking loved it.
Yeah, I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch. Like I said, when we're talking about Elementary, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, Elementary, that is getting really good at the moment. They've introduced the concept of Moriarty. The dynamic between Joan Watson and Sherlock is getting really interesting now. Definitely the last three or four episodes have been the best that the season's had, so if you do watch it, or you haven't watched it, watch it, keep watching.
I will mention that the episode in which the safe, he's got to crack into the safe.
Yeah.
It's the other episode before that. He's wearing a t-shirt that says open 24 hours.
Yes.
Fucking awesome t-shirt. I want that shirt.
Very cool. Arrow is just going up and up and up. It got announced today, actually, that it's been renewed for a second season, which doesn't surprise me.
Which, along with Supernatural as well, awesome, and The Vampire Diaries, not something I'll watch, but...
Yeah. They're, for DC fans, they're slowly introducing a lot of characters, but not by their, superhero or supervillain names. They're introducing them as their,
okay.
You know, proper names.
Yeah.
Slade Wilson, Helena, Bertinelli...
I should be able to guess Slade Wilson is... Wait, I got this. Deathstroke?
Yes.
Okay, I only know that for the fact that Slade Wilson, of course, Wade Wilson...
Yeah,
Deadpool.
Stolen, yep. No, there is a lot of cool introductions that they're doing, a lot of people popping up that are really going to make this series, season two, amazing, but they've still got, I think, 7 or 8 episodes of season one, so...
Is it 22?
Probably, yeah, about 22. They're up to, I think, 14 now, so...
I'm still behind. I think I'm still on, like, 9.
Community, Joel McHale, hilarious fucking TV show.
Which, Troy hasn't seen it anyways, because
I have...
Well, yeah, I mean,
like,
you have...
three or four episodes.
Yeah, you're just getting into it, but, like, fucking, I've seen all three seasons. The actual, season 4, without Dan Harmon, fuck that network, but still, season 4 premiered this week, or it premieres this week, something like that.
Yeah, it's up to, actually, last week, I think it was. Episode 2 came out this week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But, dude, like, I will reinstate the fact is that it's one of the single best shows I've ever seen. Bunch of those episodes are some of my favorite episodes of any television.
It's a lot of pop culture references, and it's
wait
hilarious.
Until you get to the first paintball episode. And
I watched that one. That was
the
first one
you
ever showed me. Yeah,
and then the second paintball episode,
awesome.
The Halloween episode.
It's
a zombie episode. There's a space episode. Fucking Community is like one of the
greatest.
If you
have any sense of humor, go and watch this movie. If you're
TV.
A sad sack and have no soul, then don't. And
yeah, you're a Pierce.
Shameless, which I only got to see 2 or 3 episodes of last night, actually.
The US version of the UK.
Drama, comedy, yeah, US version. I didn't know this.
I wouldn't know how to classify that.
Yeah, there's serious elements, funny elements. The whole movie is pretty... I mean, television show is pretty much about
it's,
a dysfunctional family functioning.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, a lot of them get drunk and, William H. Macy spends the entire show pretty much drunk.
Ugh. He plays a drunk person better than anyone I've ever seen in any movie or TV.
He knows the exact level of not overacting
to
be drunk.
It's really well done. Give it a look. It's just up to season 3 right now.
Yeah.
Cougar Town, season 4, moved to from ABC Studios to TBS now.
Oh.
Courtney Cox has written and directed a lot of episodes recently.
Is she any good at it?
She's great. Yeah, Bill Lawrence is still there on board. For those who don't know, Cougar Town's by the guy who did Scrubs.
But he also... it's like I have an annoying relationship with Scrubs. I love Scrubs.
I love it.
But death. I still think the first episode is the best and the last episode is the worst episode of that show.
I love the last episode more than any other episode. That and the musical episode.
Musical episode was great. Brilliant. No, and The Wizard of Oz. Love The Wizard of Oz episode. Yeah. Mainly thanks to the fact that it introduced me to Iz's version of Over the Rainbow.
Yeah.
But I mainly just like the last episode really quickly because he ruins a perfect moment between JD and Cox. JD and Cox finally could get their goodbye, but he...
No, that was the best moment. No,
I think that show... the show usually is really good at balancing comedy over the top comedy and serious drama, especially in, like, a few episodes.
I just
really loved
that the actor who played Cox channeled Robert Redford for pretty much the entire...
But,
like, the whole wipe of the nose and the cross of the arms type thing, like, you know.
There's actually a really interesting thing that you should look up, especially if you do like Scrubs or Cougar Town. It's another show that Bill Lawrence created. I can't remember what it's called. It didn't last past the pilot. I've got to try to remember what it's called, but it's about two guys who are writing a sitcom, and the sitcom is about the two guys writing a sitcom while they're filming them, which was what the actual show is about, the two guys writing the sitcom about the sitcom. So anytime they're like on the set...
Seinfeld cross Inception.
Yeah, anytime they're on the in their office, which is a set with a studio audience and everything.
Yeah,
it's and then it's like it's got the laugh track, the woo and everything. Like someone goes, the guy just walks in, he's like, "Who the fuck are they?" It's like, dude, that's our studio audience. Quick, say a state, Wisconsin. Yeah. Albuquerque. Yeah. And then like anytime they leave the set, they're followed by cameras. So. And then it's a show in a show, and it's really weird. It's really funny. The pilot's up on YouTube somewhere. It's unfortunate that it didn't get made. One of the guys in it I really like is from Battlestar Galactica, and the other one is, if anyone knows from Scrubs, is the overly handsy intern.
Yeah.
So he's there.
Who is a regular on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. That's something so everyone should just have a watch the pilot.
Random tidbit: that guy, the Jimmy, the overly friendly orderly, he actually started on the Amanda Show on Nickelodeon.
Wow, that's a while ago.
So
Amanda Bynes doesn't act anymore, but
yeah. And I guess last of the TV shows, Walking Dead, which
came back
yesterday, today, kind of
something like that
for you in the US. Yeah, it's back.
It's back.
It got the highest amount of viewers for any of the episodes that are to air for Walking Dead so far. 12 million. So that's freaking huge.
I haven't heard anything about it yet, but it can't be, it has to be good.
Season 3 has been my favorite so far because there's been a lot more action, a lot less drama.
Well,
and
it's
sad boohoo bullshit.
It was easy enough to make it the best season, but like, because the things like, even in the first season, the first episode of the first season is one
brilliant.
Of my, is my single favorite pilot or episode of television series ever.
Yeah.
But that hit the bar so high, the other five episodes were just not as good. Yeah. And then, of course, we know that season 2 drags a bit during the middle.
I think season 2 shouldn't exist.
Season 2 is mostly a problem of things going on behind the scenes, of course, like the whole studio changeover.
I stand by my comment of season 2 is Days of Our Lives with an element of zombies.
There's still stuff that happens. I mean, like, there's still driving force stuff. But,
yeah, for, you know, 5 minutes out of,
well, you know, that's,
every second episode.
Cause, like,
oh, look, a zombie in the background. They're still here.
Like, things like there was plans for season 2, which would have been really interesting. Like, of course, because that was still Frank Darabont. Like, the soldier in the tank in the first season was supposed to star in a complete episode onto itself. And then, of course, Greg Mazzara took over end of season 2 or mid season 2 and took over season 3. He's the one that's just been, he's like, fucking, this show needs to move as quickly as possible. We need to kill a lot of people. We need to kill, which is his pretty much philosophy.
Yeah.
And of course, Greg Mazzara has left. So they have a new showrunner coming on. So season 4 may be something completely different from 3.
He better still kill people. I guess that's it for TV and movie stuff. Games. There isn't really much that has been released or that we've been able to play
over the
past couple of months.
I've been too busy with the move and not doing anything and other stuff that I haven't really played many games.
I played a fuck ton of Pokemon Black 2.
I bought a 3DS.
Consolidated all my Pokemon, which took, you know, a 3-week period to move them all from game to game to game. It's a pain in the fucking ass.
Yeah,
we got an announcement from Nintendo's Pokemon Direct, which is Pokemon X and Y Generation 6, first 3D installment of a Pokemon series, which is fucking exciting because it looks really damn cool.
Yeah.
And it looks like they put a fuck ton of effort into it.
I still wish there was more animation in the battle scenes. Like, the battle scenes look pretty cool, but yeah. Like...
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you know, in progress from what they started with to what they've done now. Like, if you go back and look at the very original, it's like, wow, they have put a fuck ton of work into these games.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I know.
You know, it's, yeah, got a drip feed. another cool announcement, which a lot of people didn't realize, is Pokemon Yellow for this generation of games is actually getting remade. So it'll be the last Gen 5 Pokemon.
That's fucking
which awesome. Is fucking exciting, yeah. Getting to play as Ash, having the Pikachu, having the Pokemon getting pretty to get much all run three behind of the originals. You. Yeah, yeah, like the real Team Rocket will be in there. You know, it's pretty much a game that was based off the show.
You know, thinking back to the show, yeah. I forgot, you reminded me of how stupid the idea that in every episode the bad guys were Team Rocket is. The fact that every single episode,
and still to this day, I'm... started watching, you know, Black and White, like season 14 and stuff like that. Still,
still same motto. Just thinking about
it. Yeah, it's fucking annoying. Like, I luckily can watch it on the computer and just skip past the Team Rocket motto now because it fucking sends me insane. Used to enjoy it, but after you've seen it, you know,
a thousand times.
Yeah, well, there's like 895 episodes at the moment, so you know, yeah, you kind of get over that a little bit.
Pokemon.
Dead Space 3, which I really, 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 really want to fucking play, but...
I do want to play it because I'm interested to see how the co-op works and that kind of stuff. Apparently, there's a lot of side quests and free roam stuff.
I love Isaac. I love all the Dead Spaces. First two games, I had everything bar one achievement.
Which achievement? Like, the finish on the hardest?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And I was actually 3/4 of the way through doing it on one, but...
One's annoying, though, because you don't have New Game Plus.
Yeah, it's fucking hard.
You can buy the DLC suits, though.
Yeah, I had those. Getting paid monthly kind of kills me for buying games, so I've got to wait until I get paid, and then I'm going to game my fucking ass off.
I've just moved in, so I've got everything set up, so I don't know how I'm going to go.
Ubisoft kind of fucked everyone over. They've been promoing Rayman Legends for so fucking long. Rayman. They've released... demos to fucking get our game.
Wii U exclusive.
Yeah.
And then they'll just like, hey guys, by the way, we like money.
Yeah.
So it's no longer a Wii U exclusive. It's now going to be ported to the other consoles. And also it's not coming out till September for anything.
Yeah. Which, so instead of like releasing it now and then announcing that they're going to release it for PS3 and Xbox later.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's slightly understandable by the fact is the Wii U undersold,
But at the same time, like, you know, because...
It is, like...
Because there's a lack of titles at the moment on the Wii U, having that there would drive sales, because it's like, know, shit, we've got finally got a game.
I do know a
play.
Bunch of people that were in the fact is, like, once this game comes out, I'm going to buy the Wii U for this game.
I wasn't sold for Legends until I played the demo, and the demo is fucking cool. And I'm like, wow, I could really fucking enjoy this game.
The only thing that annoyed me about the demo is you couldn't play it on the gamepad.
Yeah.
That kind of annoyed the shit out of me. I wish that all Wii U games, minus obviously Zombie U for obvious reasons, were playable on the gamepad. Because that way I can have something going on in the background while playing on the gamepad. Or I can jump into my bed with the gamepad and play with that, which would be cool. But
most of them do have it. So yeah. Even Call of Duty.
Yeah. I heard about someone that played the entire game on that, so it was fine.
Yep. So fuck Ubisoft. I'm boycotting. I'm not buying their stupid products. They fucked me over with Assassin's Creed 3, and that was a horrible shit of a fucking...
They are doing something really cool that's coming out.
Stupid mess. They just fucked me over with Rayman, so Ubisoft can shove it up their fucking ass.
It's about 2 or 3 weeks old now. We didn't really talk about it at the beginning, but I'll just quickly mention it. Of course, the death of THQ. THQ, the publisher. Yeah. Of course, has been in debt for a while, mainly due to the fact that they produced way too many U-Draw tablets, their version of fucking stupidity. They've been going under pretty badly for the past couple of years.
THQ's marketing has been in the shitter for 5 years. But
recently, Jason Rubin took over and was like, all right, we're going to save this company. They decided to declare bankruptcy in order to sell themselves to Clear Lake Capital Group, a investment firm. Which they're going to sell themselves for $60 million. It would have absolved all of their debt, and then the $60 million would have gone to whatever the debt is. Of course, the debtors then went like, fuck no, 60 million is a little too much. Why don't you guys sell off all of your properties first? So THQ was in the interest of trying to keep itself running. The debtors obviously wanted their money. So, put an injunction in to stop the sale, and then basically said, you're going to have to sell off all of your company piecemeal, which it did.
But they got fucked over real quick.
THQ basically is no longer exists. About 2 weeks ago, their executives were fired and THQ absolved. The weirdest thing is where all of these little things went. I mean, the funniest one in a weird way is Patrice, can't remember his last name, was the creative director and of Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 and half of Brotherhood. He left during half of Brotherhood due to creative differences with Ubisoft. Was like, I don't want to be part of Ubisoft. Went over to THQ, created THQ Montreal and started working on his own project. Ubisoft bought THQ Montreal.
Oh, fuck, so he got absorbed back to the company.
Now, Patrice is currently at Ubisoft. Kind of funny, it's kind of in an annoying way, because Patrice did do amazing work with the Assassin's Creed. Whatever his new game would have been awesome.
But it's funny, it's like another one bites the dust. I mean, we've lost, what do we lose, Epic?
Epic's still around.
Oh, it was Big Huge Games. Yeah.
Which, on a quick side note, Big Huge Game, Epic acquired 38 Studios, which made Reckoning, and recently shut them down. Impossible Studios, they were called. They said, wasn't working for us, but you guys can keep the name, hopefully you'll stay open. Yeah.
They shut down the Amalur license, the Amalur's
which
gone.
Is really weird, but... Which
fucking sucks, because that game was so good.
The other thing, Saints Row and Metro were purchased, fuck you, Saints Row 3 is awesome, one of the best games of all time.
Nope.
Were purchased by a Russian company, Koch Media, who are the owners of Deep Silver, I think it's Deep Silver, who produced Dead Island.
Which Sweet.
Is, so basically, they're the right, like everyone thought, okay, Activision, EA, or one of the big ones were going to swoop in, take Saints Row and fucking run it into the ground. The right company that could make that game came in and picked it up, so that's really interesting. Sega picked up Relic Studios, so now, as odd as it sounds, Sega has the two biggest RTS studios in the world, Relic, and they're producing, of course, the Total War series. Fucking weird. A small company was working with THQ to make a new game. I forget what it's called, Excite or something.
Yeah.
They tried to purchase the IP back for themselves for $250,000. Take-Two stepped in, purchased it for $11 million.
Fuck.
For fucking some reason. Stuff like that happened. Like, I mean, Relic went for about $25 million. Saints Row and Volition company went for about $20 million. Crysis developer Crytek was working with THQ on Homeland 2. They came in and purchased the rights to Homeland for $500,000, and they're going to finish that game.
Shit.
So everything's
kind of everywhere. Every company's shutting down, but then the companies that are shutting down licenses are going to bigger companies.
Yeah. So it's like a lot of the things are going on.
It's a fucking whirlpool in the game development.
The biggest unfortunate thing is Vigil Studios, which make Darksiders 1 and 2.
Yeah.
No one bought them. No one bought the Darksiders license. No one bought Vigil. So Vigil no longer exists. A lot of those people were acquired by...
So is that a dead end for
Darksiders? There won't be another Darksiders.
Fuck.
Because Vigil don't exist. I think it was because Darksiders 2 is already out, and it was one of the big games that they were hoping would save THQ. It underperformed pretty badly.
Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to play it, which I really do want to, because the first was brilliant, but...
I didn't like the first one, but I liked the second one. But the thing is, it's not really enticing when you have a company that has no game in production, and their last game didn't do very well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no real reason to buy them, unfortunately. I forget who they went with. Another studio opened up a studio where Vigil is based and took on a lot of their employees, but Vigil and Darksiders probably no longer again.
Bugger.
So, quick side note of THQ no longer existing, which fucking sucks, because I like some stuff that THQ has done, hate some stuff THQ has done, but they've done some good work in the last few years. I just hope Volition get to do what they want at Deep Silver, Kosh, I don't know, one or the other.
Onto more game stuff. Lego City Undercover.
Fuck yeah.
Wii U exclusive.
I'm okay that I bought a Wii U now, because that game comes out soon.
Some of the Lego games I've made, I wasn't a fan of. If you see the trailer for this game, it is fucking cool.
Yeah, it's like an open world GTA Lego game.
Yeah.
Except you play as a cop.
And Yeah, it's just, I don't even know how to describe it. That's probably the best way. It's like a GTA with Lego.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool.
It looks pretty cool. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Open world Lego game. And it's voiced.
Yeah.
They've been doing with that with all the Lego games. It's weird.
So, have a look at that. Oh, what's that? We'll go another one. Metal Gear. Rising. Revengeance.
Fucking terrible,
that's
man.
Coming out very soon. It's going to be interesting to see what direction that goes. I have a lot of faith in Hideo Kojima.
Basically, it has the potential to be either one of two things. An absolute mess or an absolute fun game.
Yeah.
I do... They put out a trailer recently with a... fuck, what's the band? It's a song.
Well, they turned Raiden from a bitch into...
I actually liked him in two.
Someone half decent.
Everyone else was like... As soon as he became the Cyborg Ninja, they're like... No, I was always a Raiden fan. Raiden was always cool.
I was never a Raiden fan.
I liked Raiden. Well, because I don't know. I love Metal Gear Solid 1. I don't think I had the affinity that everyone had. That was like, fuck this. Who's this dude? This isn't Snake. This is bullshit.
Well, it wasn't that it wasn't Snake. It's just I thought he was a bitch.
I don't know. I like his backstory. That he's a fucking, you know, he's the white killer from the Congo jungle.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But, yeah, the song's called Wrong by Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
I believe it is. Awesome fucking song, but they did a trailer to that, and that's a pretty cool trailer.
Sweet.
So it could be awesome.
And I was going to say that was all for games, but there was something that came up. The Disney...
Oh, yes.
Is it Infinity?
Yes, Disney Infinity, which is Disney's versions of the Skylanders
which
series.
Looks fucking cool.
I have a half-half with most things, obviously, like yeah. Tom Spiro, with this. The fact is, it does look fucking cool. I mean... You get to get characters from all different Disney licenses to explore different worlds. And you can apparently make all these different worlds and stuff like that.
I'm a big fan of Disney stuff, and I own a fuck ton of figurines. So, for me, even if it's just collecting the figurines is a cool concept, but be able to use the figurines that I'm collecting in a game is cool.
Well,
the Skylanders side of it, it seemed like, you know, his little toys that your kids want. And
For those who don't know, Skylanders, basically, you get a copy of the game, and then you get this huge, like, USB portal of power, as they call it, and you put the toy, which you have to buy separately, on the portal of power, you can play the toy. So it was a way for Activision to get people to keep paying money after they bought the game. So you spend $150 on the game, portal of power, and three guys, and it's like, well, you can't enter this area unless you have this guy, so you have to go out and buy this dude for $10, and then this guy for $10, which is an atrocious and very brilliant marketing scam.
Yeah, they make a fuck ton of money
off
those games.
Which is my half after this. This is a really awesome idea for a game.
Yeah.
But the fact is that if I want to go play... Because as I saw it on EB's website listed.
Yeah.
Each character is a separate thing.
Yeah. So but I mean, for me as a collector, it's a cool concept because I'm already... I already collect figurines anyway.
Yeah.
But for someone who's just a gamer and wants to... fuck around with this other stuff. That is way too much of a kick in the wallet.
Yeah, the other annoying thing specifically is it's being released with three things so far. It'll be the Pirate series, the Monsters University series,
and the Incredibles.
And the Incredibles, which means that every month or every few months they're going to release a new one. They've already showed off other characters, like the Nightmare Before Christmas characters, and all these other ones, etc.
Yeah, everything.
Fuck, Cars, I couldn't care less. But, I hate Cars, man. That movie is fucking terrible. I don't like that movie. So you have to wait for each of these things to come out, which is a great way to make money for Disney, but...
Yeah, you know people are going to buy it, and you know it's going to make a fuck ton of money.
I'm pretty sure it's being executively produced by John Vignocchi, who, if they don't know, last game he worked on was the Tron games. And he also used to work at Midway. He's a giant bomb. Associate, so that's why.
We've got. I keep forgetting about this game, and I'm really excited about it. Injustice: Gods Among Us.
Oh yeah, I forget about that. The Mortal Kombat, not Mortal Kombat fighting game.
Yeah, they just released a comic book prequel to the game. So yeah.
Yeah, that could be good. I mean, like the last Mortal Kombat game was awesome.
Yeah. This looks very fucking exciting. So.
Quickly before we finish up.
I got comics.
Okay, well, quickly before Troy talks about comics, while we're still on games, second game rated R18+ in Australia was recently announced, God of War Ascension, rated R18+. illegal to be sold or bought in Queensland at the moment, which is the state we live in. So fuck you, the government, for not being timely on that. It's illegal. It's legal to sell it in any other state but Queensland, because our government hasn't worked out its fucking legislation.
We're close enough to the border, we can go down and buy it, but it's still a pain in the fucking ass.
Yes, it's like fucking seriously. It's like, well, we finally get what we want.
Yeah.
But, you know,
the more... We're in the wrong state to have it.
Yeah, the more it changes, the more it stays the same.
But there's been announcements of them finally releasing Mortal Kombat in Australia, or releasing the Walking Dead series for download on...
Yeah, that's I played The Walking Dead. Yeah. Everyone should play... That is my single favorite game of last year. Whatever I said last year, fuck that.
Yeah.
This game made me cry.
Hence the reason it's sold so well and won so many awards.
It is. Yeah, it won tons of Game of the Week
awards. And it's on pretty much every platform you can think of. It's on Steam, it's on iPhone, it's on PlayStation, Xbox, Wii, it's on fucking everything.
And you can get it disc-based. So. Yeah. But, like, it depends on how you would classify a game. I would call it a game.
Yeah.
Because you interact with it, you choose things. But, fuck, that is one hell of a fucking game.
Yeah.
I mean, like... Telltale are currently working on an adaptation of Tales, the comics, and they're going to do a season 2 of Walking Dead, but I cannot wait.
It's kind of like an interactive novel, in a way.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Really, yeah, really fucking cool.
Comics. So.
Comics. My usual shit. Batman is in the midst of Death of the Family storyline, which is spanning across all of their Batman-related titles. Pretty much Joker's back, had his face ripped off, now he's just kind of holding it on with clothespins. Really fucked up looking Joker at the moment. I want to spoil bits, but I promise I won't. But this month is the conclusion of it all. Joker's popped up in issues of Batman and Robin, Nightwing, Batgirl, Batwoman, Batwing, Batman Incorporated, like everything, and he has jumps across everything, and he's pretty much, his whole basis of it is he believes that Batman's support group, as he calls them, so Nightwing, Robin, you know, all these little side people, are the reason he's weak. Joker believes he's dependent on them, and he believes that the dynamic between him and Batman has suffered because of his support group. So he's going around and trying to pretty much kill everyone else and bring Batman back to just Batman and Joker one-on-one.
That sounds very Joker-like.
But it's really fucking sinister, really fucked up. It's, I don't know, it's a proper Joker mindset along that lines of everyone can just die and you're fucking in my way. Like, he's a real asshole. And it's fucking brilliant. It's some of the best writing for Batman that they've done in a long time. Batman and Robin had an annual issue, which is like a 48-page cool little side issue that they do just a one shot of for most of the DC stuff each year. I don't know how to describe it. Advanced the dynamic between Damian Wayne and Bruce Wayne, because Damian's a little shit, so Bruce kind of grounds him a lot, tells him he can't go out places because he's a little bastard. But Damien went around, did research into Bruce Wayne's history, into his parents' history, things like that, that Bruce didn't know about. So, yeah, it's interesting. It kind of gives a lighter side on Batman and Robin. And Robin, while he's sending Bruce on a treasure hunt, pretty much dresses as a miniature version of Batman and goes around Gotham City fucking shit up. So it's cool to see Damian Wayne as Batman, and it's cool to see a bit of more backstory on Bruce Wayne.
That's cool.
And Alfred's got some really funny fucking lines in that book, so definitely worth a read. As for the rest, I mean, Justice League's finally starting to find legs. It feels like it was an incomplete series up until this point, but now they've got a crossover with Aquaman for the Throne of Atlantis, and pretty much the Atlanteans, the people under the sea, believe that the air breathers should die. They're done being suppressed, they come up and Aquaman's like, oh no, you shouldn't, but I'm not in charge, so it's kind of a fight between Justice League and Aquaman, and then Aquaman trying to stop guys from, yeah. It's a fucking mess, but it's a good read.
Hear that rumor a while ago about Guillermo del Toro possibly adapting Justice League Dark?
Yes. Which could be fucking interesting. There's a lot of cool characters in John Justice League Dark. John Constantine,
Zatanna, and other Justice League Dark characters.
Yeah, so there's some pretty cool shit. Nightwing. he's had a crossover with the Joker fucked up. Pretty much the whole Nightwing series from the reboot has been him rebuilding Haley's Circus and having it as a permanent place in, amusement park in Gotham City, rebuilding the circus, permanent attraction, getting everyone back, getting it all the way it was, and then Joker comes and in one swift issue pretty much burns the place to the ground and kills half the performers. And you're like, cool, so what you just set up for 18 months is now gone in half an issue.
Yeah.
So fuck knows what they're going to do with Nightwing after this, because, you know, that's been his whole reason to be in Gotham. So whether they're going to move him back to Bloodhaven, whether they're going to put him back with Batman, what the fuck's going to happen, no one has any idea. So I don't know where that's going.
Fun.
Yeah. Apart from that, there isn't really much else comics I've been reading.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah. I've skipped over the whole Marvel reboot. I really wanted to get into Marvel and start from the kind of issue ones. Not so much reboots, just kind of like new story things they're doing with Marvel now. But to be able to catch up, like, DC's made it accessible to be able to jump back in and really understand the story.
I can catch you up on any character book. Ask me one. Yeah. I haven't read any Marvel comics in like 2 years since since Civil War was the last time I actively read Marvel comics.
And see, like, there's some really cool stuff.
Oh wait, no, I know what's happening with Spider-Man. Ask me what's happening with Spider-Man.
I know what's happening with Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know. Did you see that photo of Stan Lee shredding issue 700? I was close to buying that.
Yeah. Stan Lee shredding a comic is not a good thing to see.
No, issue 700 of Spider-Man apparently not high on Stan Lee's want list.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it sounds like a very interesting way that they took Spider-Man in, but it also sounds
a fucking mess.
Yeah.
It's an absolute fucking mess. So, yeah, I'm avoiding Marvel for now until I can find footing for something that I can follow. I want to be able to get into it, know what's happening from the issue that I pick up, and be able to follow it, not get it and go, well, who the fuck's that, and why are they doing that, and what's happening there, and then having to go, okay, and sit there on fucking Google for the next 6 hours understanding an issue of a comic.
Yeah, that was the fun thing about reading, what was after Civil War? Whatever was after Civil War.
Not Avengers vs. X-Men.
No, before that. There was one directly after Civil War. It was like Child of Epoch or something. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, it was Child of Epoch.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But, like, I was reading X-Factor at the time. Yeah. And it was, like, in one random issue, the X-Men rock up and then, like, to fight off against the X-Factor. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm not even reading these other comics and I'm still confused.
Yeah, like, in the Batman crossovers, there's cool little tidbits, but you don't have to read the other issues. Whereas Marvel's crossover, it's like, as you said, if those people pop up, then you have no fucking idea why they're there. And it forces you to go and buy the other issues to be like, oh, that's why they fucking showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
fucking comics, man.
Bastards. that's pretty much it for us for this week.
We had intended to use some, you know, new technology to record this, which didn't go my way at all, like always. So
we had a lot of plans for some really cool, you know.
So hopefully I'll pick up something in the meantime. Basically, the meantime between now and next time is we don't know, mainly due to the fact that our schedules are still fucked. But
it will be within the next fortnight that we will have another podcast.
So on that note, we might just leave it there at clocking in at 1 hour and 27 minutes.
So
I'm Reese,
and I'm Troy,
and you've been listening to The Unusual Suspects, Pop Culture and Whiskey, the podcast in which I talk about movies, games, comics, and all of the geek stuff. See you guys next week.
See ya soon.
Yeah.